Hey William, hey, it's me, it's Daddy-O, and I'm back again. And this, I guess, is an epilogue or an afterwards or something like that from my long story payoff for Mr. Glove. Because I was thinking, I left the end of that story after the pig out disaster. I left the end of that story with everybody rushing off, and they were gone. And if you were thinking, what happened? Well, I realized I better sort of talk about that because that's what happens to happen next, and that'll be next. But I don't know when next is because I've got too much to tell you in other stories. But here's what happens: so Strong Bones and Gustav Pioneer, GP, both leave the Troll Mountain through this hidden doorway. It's a huge door that opens up and lets both jeeps out. There's plenty of room for four more across. Opens up. They both drive out onto this road. Doesn't look too much like a road, but it's solid like a road, and it goes through the woods, and it goes right out to where the trolls trashed GP's original Jeep. Oh, there it is. How do we get here? They looked back. All they could see was mountain and glacier and trees. Even the road they came on didn't seem like it was a road. It looked more like it would look more like some wind had blown the leaves over it. So they didn't know. So they both followed each other, and they drove back to Apple Knoll. Now, Strong Bones got home, and they drove back to Apple Knoll, and they stopped at Uncle Key's Cafe because GP needed some food. He needed some good human food. He needed a good meal, and he knew that Uncle Key would be happy to see him and would send him along to skedaddle with some biscuits and stuff like that to nibble on the road. So they said goodbye, gave a big hug, and Strong Bones said, "Hey, thanks, GP. That was kind of fun." GP said, "Really? That was what you think is fun?" And they both laughed, and then Strong Bones went his way with his new truck, and two, count them, two motorbikes. One for him, and one for his good friend, Tuggy Tuddy. So he took off, and then GP waved goodbye, and he turned around, and he walked into Uncle Key's. Now, there's a dilemma for GP, there's a dilemma for Strong Bones. Which dilemma should I tell you first? So we'll go Strong Bones. So Strong Bones drove home. Strong Bones was, oh, he felt great. His parents were going to be so happy to see him because they were not really interested in him going to Troll Mountain. But they also trusted Strong Bones. I mean, they did. They knew Strong Bones. They knew he could get out of any trouble he got himself into. And after all, he got himself into that trouble, so it was his job to get himself out. Oh, anyway, that's the way they looked at things. So when they saw Strong Bones come home, they were all happy to see him. Yay! Happy Strong Bones. Hey, glad to see you. And then they gave him a big hug, and Cute Bones came down and grabbed him around his knees and said, "Oh, Strong Bones, oh, you're home. Yay. Tell me all about the trolls. Tell me all about the trolls. Did you see Glabilda? Oh, tell me all about the trolls. I want to hear about the trolls. Did you see Glabilda? Huh? Did you see Glabilda?" Strong Bones said, "Wait, wait, wait. I gotta give this motorbike to Tucky Tutty. I have to go fill it up with gas first." And his dad, Long Bones, laughed at him and said, "Oh, don't even worry about that. Tuggy Tuddy's in here. He's talking to us. He's worried about you, and he's worried about his motorbike." At that, Strong Bones turned his truck off, and he climbed out. His dad looked at the truck, and his mom looked at him and said, "You didn't have a truck before you left, did you?" Strong Bones said, "No, no, 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 I didn't. This is a truck. This is a present from Mr. Glub." At that moment, Tuggy Tuddy ran out of the house. "Hey, Strong Bones! Oh!" And he jumped at Strong Bones. They both hugged each other, patted on the back. "Yay, good to see you! Oh!" And then Tuggy Tuddy looked at him and said, "What happened to my bike?" Strong Bones said, "Oh, your motorbike." Well, then he started to tell the story. He started to tell the story about Pugsy and Pugly, the two big trolls who were trying to capture him, and his riding away on the bike, and his getting to the front of the Troll Mountain door, and his letting the bike go, and it sort of going over the cliff, and all he heard was at the end, and then Strong Bones' parents looked at him like, "What?" Tuggy Duddy looked at him like, "What? Huh? My motorbike? You crash smashed, destroyed my motorbike?" Strong Bones said, "Ah, yes, but, I got you a new one, care of Mr. Glub." This was news to them because after Mr. Glub is the king of the trolls, how did he get a motorbike for Mr. Glub? So Strong Bones says, "Hey, come on around, look. There in the back of his truck were two new motorbikes. Beautiful. Wow." One was black. Oh, it was black. It was deep, deep black. And the other one was blue, but it wasn't any old blue. It was midnight blue. And it was deep blue, midnight blue. And Strong Bones said, "Tuggy, my friend, you pick which one you like." Oh, Tucky looked at the one, he looked at the other. I get a new motorbike? And Starbone said, yes, indeedy, there you go. Oh, Tucky, Tucky, have you ever heard of a better friend than Tucky, who lets Strongbones take his motorbike and trusts him? And then when he comes back and tells him he smashed it up, there's a new one. Oh, Tucky was so happy. He chose the black motorbike. Said, I love this. I'm going to go. And then Longbones said, that's Strongbones' dad. Said, well, okay, Tucky, good to see you. I'm glad you were here when Strongbones got back. And Tucky couldn't believe it. He turned on the motor and it started. You know why? Because it was full of gas. Because remember way back when, they filled all their vehicles with gas from all the other vehicles. But anyway, he took off down the road. And he was so happy in his brand new bike. Boom! Then Longbones looked at Strongbones and said, I think you have some telling to do. Come on in here, we're going to have some dinner. You sit down and tell us all about it. Oh, they went in. Oh, Cutebone sat in his lap. She was so happy to see him. His parents, his mom made his favorite meal, which was broccoli. Oh, he loved broccoli. And his mom put a little bit of butter on it, a little bit of salt. Oh, he loved it. He ate his broccoli. And he was said, ah, oh, well, I have to say, I need some water. So they gave him some long, tall glasses of water with ice in it. He drank that down. Oh, it's so good to have human food. Oh, and his mother looked up and said, oh, I just bought some new mushrooms. Would you like me to make some mushrooms for you? And Strongbones went, ah, I don't want another mushroom. But that's an aside. At any rate, so he started telling his story. He told his story all the way from when they left Applenau and all the way till he got back. And if you, dear William, want to hear that story told again, you have to start back at chapter one, The Race to Troll Mountain. Meanwhile, he told him all this story, and he got to the end. And he wasn't thinking. He was just telling his story. And he said, and yeah, and then Glabilda. Oh, Cutebones was so happy. She'd heard all about Glabilda and Glabilda down in the caverns and the treasure hunt and falling off the boxes. And, oh, she couldn't hear more. And then Strongbone said, well, yeah, I kind of promised that I'd bring Cutebones back up to see Glabilda at the next troll romp. His mother went, what? What? Longbones, what? What did he just say? Longbones looked at his son, Strongbones, what did you just say? Well, now Strongbones is in a pickle because he hadn't really been thinking that what it meant was he was going to actually take Cutebones back to Troll Mountain. He said, Glabilda was so anxious to see Cutebones that Mr. Glub wouldn't let her go because it's going to start to snow and everybody's in the mountain. But I told him that I'd bring Glabilda back up to Troll Mountain during the Troll Rump. Longbones and Strongbones' father, I think you figured that one out. His face looked like it was like a thundercloud and there was lightning coming out of his ears. He was like looking at his son like, you have got to be kidding. You are not taking your sister back to Troll Country. And his mother, oh dear. I wouldn't want to talk to his mother just then. No, she was not happy. Sweet Bones was not happy. No, she wasn't. She looked at Strongbones and said, I can't believe you would say such a thing. But, and here's what's most important, Sweet William. Cutebone said, yippee, yippee, I'm going to Troll Mountain, woohoo! She started dancing all around the room. And you know what? There's nothing like a little sister. Because where Strongbones couldn't get what he wanted, his little sister got everything. And it happens a lot. You would not know. It happens a lot. Oh, she was dancing around. At that point, Longbones looked at Sweetbones, and Sweetbones looked at Longbones, and they both sort of acknowledged that maybe they had lost. But that is another story. See, that goes to another story for when Strongbones has to bring Cutebones back to see Glabilda and the kind of antics they get into. Because if you match Glabilda and Cutebones together, that is way worse than double baby marmalades, I have to say. Baby marmalade is about as bad as you can get. But you don't know baby marmalade yet because Lisa hasn't started telling her stories. So that's Strongbones. And so you know there's a story coming out of that because that's Cutebones. Oh. Well, meanwhile... Gustav Panier, GP, went in to see Uncle Key. And he came in the door, and Uncle Key looked up. He was polishing a long bar that he put in, a long table counter that he put in just that morning. And they just left, and it was long. It was a beautiful, beautiful granite counter. He was polishing it up because that's where he was going to put all of his food when he served people And he put his bread, and he put his turnips, and he put his potatoes, and then he put his coleslaw, and he put his Brussels sprouts, and he put all of his broccoli. He made the best broccoli in the world. And then he had sushi if you wanted. And if you wanted, he had some organic chicken that he raised out somewhere in the back and out of Marvel Rap Tracks, because I haven't told you the extent of Marvel Rap Track, but he was. So anyway, Miss Uncle Key looked up and said, Well, who do we have here? Well, hey, it looks like my good old friend Gustav Honier has come back. How did you get along with the trolls, eh? Did you get your truck back? And Gustav Honier looked at him, and he said, well, indeed I did. Uncle Key said, what? He said, well, indeed I did. I got my Jeep back from Mr. Glum, or actually I got a new Jeep. Well, here's problem number one for Jeepy, because after all, his old Jeep is sitting out in front of Uncle Key's, and then his new Jeep is sitting sort of right behind it at Uncle Key's. He's got to get two Jeeps back to his little home in Skedaddle. But anyway, that's another part of the story that we're going to get to. So Uncle Key said, well, what do you mean? And he put down his rag, and he said, come on, show me what you have. And he walked out of Uncle Key's cafe, and out walked Gustav Panier, and they stood on the street, and there were these two Jeeps. Well, one was a fabulously sturdy, wonderful, excellent, comfortable, happy Jeep. It just was kind of battered and old, but it still worked really well. But right behind it was a, oh my goodness, a beautiful Jeep, a brand new Jeep from the look of it. Nobody had ever driven it. It probably had 4 miles on the speed limit. Uncle Key was looking and saying, my goodness, this is a nice Jeep. Oh, look. And he found the little switch. You know what the switch did? The switch heated the seats. So if it was a winter time and it was cold, and sometimes it got cold, you can heat the seats before you climbed in and have a nice warm seat. Oh, what kind of a Jeep is this? Oh, he was looking around. He was so, then he looked in the back. And the back was stuffed. Back was totally stuffed. Back was so totally stuffed that you couldn't see much except for a little bit of area that GP had left so we could look out the back window. And Uncle Key looked at GP and said, what's this? And GP said, well, this is all stuff that Mr. Glum let me have. Uncle Key said, what? And GP said, well, yeah, we were in Troll Mountain for a while, and we got to be good friends with Mr. Glum, and well, he gave me all this stuff to take home with me. And Uncle Key looked and stuff, and he looked at, there were cameras, there were lights, there were tripods, there were audio recorders, there were audio mixers, there were video mixers, there was the whole computer set up, it looked like, that was ready, you could edit all your film. Oh my goodness, he looked around, said, you must be some type of ethnojournalist. And GP just grinned. He said, yeah, I'm going to have so much fun with this stuff. Oh, I'm going to have such fun. And Uncle Key's eyes lay on a box. Well, this was a box that everybody should have because, and nobody had because, you know why? Because it was the one that Mr. Glum had given to GP. And on the box was writing. And the writing was all about Japanese. I'm looking for his name. Oh my goodness, the wrong one. I was going to try to tell you by Mr. Nakamura Noramachi. At any rate, if you remember, yes. Okay, so here's what it is. When GP was leaving Troll Mountain, all right, and Mr. Glum said, I got one more present for you, human. Come on, I got a present for you. And he led him into a room with all these boxes piled high. And they were all stamped with Japanese on one side. And on the other side, in big letters, were Nippon Neuro Robotics Technologies. And that is the company of Mr. Futeki Kusumono, or Kusumono-san, who wants to abduct Squeaky Toy Robot so he can reverse engineer him for his own gain. He wants to take Squeaky Toy apart and see how he works. Well, what's this? Uncle Key looked at it. Well, if you remember, Uncle Key was sort of a neuro-cybernetic electronic engineer tinkerer, and he knew a lot, and he spotted a robot. He said, what's this? And GP said, I have no idea what that is. I have no idea what a Nippon Neuro Robotics Technology is. He gave it to me. He had a room full. And Uncle Key looked and said, what, that looks like a robot. Is that a robot kit? And GP said, I have no idea. I have no idea. Well, Uncle Key's interest was all of a sudden much greater. Uncle Key looked at the box and said, can I take a look at that? Can I see what's inside? GP said, sure, let's have a look. He reached in and grabbed the box. Oh, they both heaved it out. It was a lot heavier than it looked. But then trolls are bigger than you think, and lifting things are okay for them. They both lifted it, walked it in, and they put it on that beautiful new granite countertop that Uncle Key had been waxing. And they opened it up. And inside the box was a little robot. Well, this robot wasn't the same size as Squeaky Toy or Ayatsuri Ningyo Robot, because he was about a meter or 3 feet. You have 3 feet. Everybody else calls it a meter. He was a meter high. And this little one was really only about a half a meter, you know, and that's sort of like 16 inches, almost a foot and a half. So he was a little guy, but he was a little robot, and he had different parts. He had to put on the different parts. He had to put his legs together. He had a little leg kit, and then he had a little arm kit, and then he had a body part that was another kit, and then you had his head kit, and that was his top head with his sensors, so he could see and he could listen, and presumably he could talk, and it had to be programmed, and here was this manual. Oh, underneath the box was this big manual, and it was full of coding, and it showed how to code for this robot. Uncle Key looked at GP, said, GP, my lad, GP, do you know how to code? Think you could do this? Well, GP was an ethnojournalist. He was getting to be a really good ethnojournalist, but he was an ethnojournalist, and that meant he talked to people, or talked to trolls, as the case may be. He talked, and then he wrote. He used his fingers, and he wrote. No, I don't do code, he said. I have friends that do code. They are wonderful people, but, you know, code, ooh. And he pointed his finger at his head and tapped and said, I don't know, code. Uncle Key just looked at him, and he was so kindly. He just laughed. He said, oh, I understand. Because Uncle Key, of course, had actually written one or two codes that were used still, and he was a master of all the codes, because as he was growing up, well, never mind, we'll tell that story another time, but he knew code. He said, well, GP, you know, it's going to be winter time up here in Apple, no? GP said, I know that. He said, what do you do for the winter down at Skedaddle? And GP said, well, I'm going to be busy, because I'm writing my dissertation on troll articulation of troll problems in human society. Okay, well, that's good. That's very, you're going to be busy this winter, aren't you? GP said, I certainly am. I'm going to be writing. I won't know what else to do. I'll just be going crazy writing. Uncle Key said, oh, well, you know, up here in Apple Knoll, it gets cold. GP said, yeah, I imagine. And it gets long, and sometimes you get storms. They last for a couple days, and nobody comes to the restaurant. Who wants to come out when it's a bad storm? And I end up here hanging out with my kids, my wife, Lisa Chella, and my Woolly Woo and little Lulu. But, you know, I can't. Sometimes I wish I had something to do. And GP said, oh, yeah, I've been there, okay. And so Uncle Key said, so what I'd like to do, you know, when I'm not taking care of Willy Woo and Lulu, I'd like to work with my hands. And you got a little bit of electronics here, and I've done a little bit of electronics work, which is to say he was a PhD in cyber, like, well, never mind, we'll go there extra. But he said, I wouldn't mind, maybe I could work on this for you. It would save you some time. Well, GP had no idea what it was. He only knew that it had Japanese on one side and English on the other side, and he really didn't know what it was all about. So he said, okay, go ahead. If it's going to make you happy, it'll give me a reason to come up here next spring. And by the way, I have to come up anyway. Uncle Key looked at him. He said, you do? And Gustav Pani said, yes, I have to come up, because I promised Mr. Club that I'd come back and teach him how to use his video equipment, and in return, he'd give me an interview. A soul interview, the only human he's talked to. Uncle Key was amused. He said, really? Really? You are going to interview Mr. Glub the Troll? The famous Mr. Glub the Troll? And Gustav Pottinger said, yes, indeedy. I am indeed. That's what he told me I could do. And so I'm going to. I'm going to drive up and I'm going to show him how to use stuff that he has. He has no idea how to use it. Might as well teach those trolls how to do something useful. Uncle Keith just laughed. Oh, he laughed. He was good friends with Long Bones, or Strong Bones' dad, and they sort of knew something about trolls. And they laughed. Oh, he thought that was so funny. So he said, well, my friend, you have a long drive back to Skedaddle, I imagine. What do you want to eat? So GP said, oh, I'll have, let's see. And he ordered some salmon, some wild salmon, because the wild salmon were coming back into the lakes and streams, the Atlantic salmon. And he ordered a big plate of broccoli, because, oh, he loved broccoli. He got some Brussels sprouts, and he had a salad, because the salad was good. And there were fresh strawberries all the way from Calzona. He said, yes, I'll take that. So he got some strawberries, and he had a wonderful meal. And Uncle Key gave him a loaf of bread to eat, and he gobbled that down. And he ate. And while he ate, in between mouthfuls and in between, oh, this is so good. Oh, this is such good food. He told Uncle Key all about his adventure in Troll Mountain. Well, we did this, we did that. And every time he told something else, especially when it came to the werewolves, Uncle Key's mouth would drop and his eyes would get wide. And he'd go, what? You what? He said that so many times. It was almost funny by the time he finished. And then GP finally finished his story. And Uncle Key said, I can't believe it, my son. You better write that up right away before you forget it. And GP said, that's exactly what I'm going to do when I get home. And so he gave Uncle Key a big hug. And at that point, in ran Willy Woo and Lulu. And they said, oh, GP, GP, GP. And they clung all around his legs and gave him big hugs. And then Lisa Chayla showed up and said, oh, GP, I missed you. Come back. And GP said, well, ma'am, I have to come back in the spring because I'm going to interview Mr. Glub. And Lisa Chayla looked at him and said, you are going to what? I'm going to interview Mr. Glub. He promised me an interview. I'm coming up. And she just said, oh, okay. Well, I hope it's a good interview. Okay. And they all gave big hugs. And then GP climbed in his Jeep. Well, what's going to happen? How is he going to get his other Jeep back? How is he going to get home with two Jeeps? This is a big question. And it was answered because Uncle Key came out. And he said, hey, young feller, you can't take two home the way it is now. And GP said, no, I know. I'm trying to think this through. What do I do? So Uncle Key said, I'll tell you what. I've got a bumper hitch. I'll put it on the old one in case it falls off. Oh, the old one. Okay, I'll put in the old one, and you just pull the new one. You'll lock the new one up as tight as can be. Put all your clothes in there. Yep, I'll give you some food. Here, I got some hot bread for you. I got some soup I made that you can drink. That's good. That's easy. It's in a thermos. And you just keep this hitch and bring it back with you in the spring. And then you'll get home safe and sound. That's what they did. So they hitched up GP's back bumper. And then they hitched up his new Jeep with all of his electronics stuffed into it. And they locked up the doors nice and tight as a drum. And then he took off to skedaddle. And then he left waving goodbye, and there he drove down to Skedaddle, back to Washmacumption University, where he was going to finish his dissertation on the trolls. So that's really the end of GP, but in a sense, for this story. This story, okay, sweet William, for this story, but it's not the end. I've been working on this. I have no idea how to do this, because meanwhile, Igglypop got stranded on Earth, and here he is, stranded on Earth, and who decides to go to Tanaka Palala with him but GP? Oh, so GP's back in town, right? He hasn't been back there that much longer, right? He's ready to start his dissertation, and guess what happens? He takes off to Tanaka Palala. Oh, well, that's cool, but he's supposed to be back with Mr. Club in the spring. How's he going to get to Tanaka Palala and then get back in time? Oh, I haven't figured this out. You're going to have to help me. Okay, but that's it. That's it for GP. They're gone. Strong Bones is off. We got another story coming on him sooner or later. GP's off. Oh, we haven't lost the last of him. And meanwhile, William, stay in touch, because I am planning the solar hat. And that's the return of Squeaky Toy Robot, and how Squeaky Toy gets abducted and kidnapped. And you know who kidnaps him, don't you? It's actually Mr. Kusumono-san. It's Mr. Futeki Kusumono, who's the owner and the CEO of Nippon Neuro Robotics Technologies, or N2RT. N2RT, remember that one? And they steal him. And he has to come back. and who has to find them. You know who has to find them, 3T and all, and that's going to be my story, and I'm sticking by it, and I'm going to start as soon as the brain gets going again. So I love you, William. You take care. Have a good sleep tonight. Give your sister Lauren a hug. She's a beautiful little girl. Give your mom and your dad a big, big, big hugs. They're fabulous. And I'll tell you another story another day. Love you, William.